Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud Chet. And let's just, how in the world did we get here? So just to remind you, it's really quite simple. We started off with the discussion about Biur Chametz, and that led us to the question of what time the Chametz becomes Aser, and when you start burning it. So then it turned out that there was the Shita that was mechalik between the burning of Chametz, which is Truma, and the burning of Chametz, which is Chulin. And for Truma, we basically are going to make sure that you can eat it another hour during the fifth hour in that Shita. And therefore, we started thinking about how we need to be Mekayim Mishmeret Trumotai, not to burn Truma too early if there's a chance of being able to save it. That led us to the question of if we're going to be burning the Truma, and anyway it's going to be destroyed, not to mention the fact that Midrabbanan, it's already Osir in the sixth hour, would we be allowed, therefore, to completely ignore the Din of Mishmeret? Because obviously, if we're going to go burn something, there's no more mishmeret. That's one possibility. Or if something is no longer usable because there's an issur d'rabbanan on it, so maybe there's no more mishmeret. It's another possibility. And that brought us to the discussion of the Mishnah of Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim, which was a similar situation. Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim was talking about Kodesh, not about Truma, and whether when you needed to burn Noser, which turns out to be the Mokar of Sreifas Chometz, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And so if you need to burn Noser, would you be able to burn that Noser together with Tameh, Pigol, and so on? That turned out to be Nogea Bechameh Betilo. But because of that discussion, we ended up with Rabbi Meir saying, see, according to Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim, this is what it sounded like, that we learn out from here that we could do the same thing for Truma, the same way we could put Kodesh, that's Tameh, together with Kodesh, that's Tohar. We should be able to do the same thing, Truma, that's Osir, with Truma, that is Mutter, but Truma, that is Tohar, same kind of idea. And that was the question. Is that where he was learning it from? And that got us into all kinds of issues about, so what are they already, what are they arguing in? Why is Rabbi Yossi saying that it's Eina Min Amida? And we had three approaches to why it's understanding the mission of relating Rabbi Yossi's discussion to Rabbi Meir. And the most beautiful way we ended up with which was Rabbi Yochanan's understanding of the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir was indeed deriving it from Rabbi Chanina's Kana Kohanim. He understood that the case was a case of Tuma, where the only Truma was only Tomei Midrabbanan. The Chiddush was that we were allowed, which means that many rites is not Tomei at all, and that we were allowed to be Metamei yet, even though being Metamei Ochlin from Ochlin is itself only Midrabbanan. So, but anyway, it would have been us, so Midrabbanan were Matirit, and so why would it be any different if it's Osir? And then it wasn't quite clear what it was that Rabbi Yossi disagreed with until we came up with the brilliant solution that there is actually strip it down to the very simplest of issues. And it turns out that the case is the whole question. Is the case that we spoke about where Mashkin or Gemimitami, the Urchlin, to make it Tame, that was the case. So according to the reason Rabbi Yossi said it's not Eina Min Amida is because Rabbi Yossi held that if Mashkin or Matame Ochlin, that's a Diraisa. And therefore, how can you derive from there something that was Tame Diraisa and that you're allowed to make it more Tame? How could you derive from there that something that is Tor Diraisa, that you're allowed to make it Tame at all? And what's more, Rabbi Yochanan forced us into that position by proving that Rabbi Yossi would be Moda, that the issue is not a mistake in comparing Isser of the Truma to Tuma of the Truma, because as Rabbi Yochanan showed, Rabbi Yossi agreed that Isser of the Truma, if it would be Osir D'Oraisa, would in fact be the same as Tuma D'Oraisa of the Truma. So everything was extremely simple. Are Mashkin Betamin Erchlin, or are they not? So that was the end of our analysis of the Mishnah. Then we moved on to get the details of that machlokas. So we were saying there is a built-in machlokas of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi that makes everything make sense, talking about exactly the same case where Mashkin were Matame Ochlin. Would that be a Tuma D'Oraisa, which Rabbi Yossi asserts, or would it be a Tuma D'Rabbanan, which Rabbi Meir asserts? That question got us involved in the Edus of Yossi ben Yoezer Ish Tzreda in Idios, in which he said that the Mashkin Beit Matbechaya were considered to be Dechan. And remember that we identified three variables in that statement. Does it mean, what are Mashkin Beit Mitbechaya? Does it mean water and blood, or does it mean all of the Mashkin, including the oils and the wine and the Beis HaMikdash, in which case the correct girsa would have been Mashkin Beit Madbechaya? That was one question. And the other question was, what does Dechan mean? Does Dechan mean it's completely tar, means it doesn't become Tameh themselves? Or does it mean it can't be Metame something else? And then the third question was, how do we understand the basis of that? Is it just that the Rabbanan were not Gozer Tumah de Rabbanan in the Beis HaMikdash? And then, of course, it would have everything to do with our Sugya, the Machlokas of Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Meir. Or is it actually Halach al Moshe Sinai, in which case it has nothing to do with our Sugya? Anyway, as a result of that, we ended up analyzing, this is where we're up to today, we ended up analyzing the four shitas that we identified when it came to Mashkim, and how we should understand the din of Mashkim in the Torah. And that was, we started with the shita where we found in the end, I mean, in the beginning we didn't know this, but in the end it turns out that actually, according to Rabbi Elazar, the din was that there's no tuma whatsoever on Mashkin. And like the whole thing is only a drabon, and even that Mashkin are Tumeim, which of course led to so many questions, so many places where Mashkin are referred to as Tumeim. And we were able to understand that all of that was talking about maybe Makshir. Because oftentimes we call something that is Mukshalakabal tuma, we call it Tumeim, so we call the Mashkin maybe Yitma. They will make things able to be Tumeim, not that they will be actually Tumeim. Then we add the Shita of Rabbi Meir. The Mashkin themselves are Tameh, because it says so, Yitma. But they will not be Metame anything else. Then we add Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon Shita. Well, if the Torah only meant to say that the Mashkin themselves are Tameh, then why the heck didn't it say so? It should have said, V'kol ha-mashkash ha-yishateh b'chokli Tameh, referring to a case where a Kli Cheres had been Tameh, Mashkin were inside of it, and it says, Yitma. If it would have just meant Tameh, said Rabbi Yossi, it should have said Tameh. Yitma forces us to learn Yitameh. Not only is it Tameh itself, it will be Metameh other things. In which case, we understand that Mashkin will be Metameh Ochli. But they still will not be Metameh other Mashkin. I don't know why. We don't know why yet about that. But that's all that Rabbi Yossi said. Mashkin will be Metameh Ochli. There's no mention of Kalin, so they won't be Metame Kalin. Rabbi Yehuda was yet another Shita, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, Mashkin were actually Metame Kalin themselves, because he darshan that posit, b'chol ha-mashkeh asher yishateh b'chol kli yitma, he darshan it to mean b'chol kli yitma, any kli that touches it, it will be yitame. So that gave us four different readings. Now, we were still left up in the air about a number of things. First of all, we never understood what the meaning is of this needing to switch between Mashkin could be Metame Ochlin and Ochlin could be Metame Mashkin, but you can't go directly from Tumas Ochlin to Ochlin Midiraisa. That was only Durabona. Same thing would be true about Mashkin. Mashkin being Metame Ochlin, you could do that, but you couldn't do Mashkin being Metame other Mashkin. And then that related, of course, to the Bechina that Chagai gave, where he did have cases of Ochlin be Metame Ochlin and Mashkin be Metame Mashkin, and we had to interpret the Chagai as meaning Midrabonan, or different ways of understanding the Pusik totally, in which it would mean they came into direct contact instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, and so on. Okay, that was fine. But the things that were left up in the air was that question, how do we know that it's not Metame something like itself? And the other question was that we had found out yesterday that apparently Rabbi Yehuda's dramatic shita, that Mashkin or even Metame Kalim, he ended up giving up on. And he ended up saying, and this was because of the halacha that we know about Achorayim V'toch. Achorayim V'toch means that Mashkin that are Tamei, that touch a kli, and they touch it only on the outside, will only be metame the outside of the kli and not the inside. Now, that is insane in terms of the dinim of tuma. And it turned out there's no such thing as something. I mean, if something could be metame the outside, either the kli is tame or it's not tame. There's no such thing as only the outside of a kli being tame. So that was done in order to do something insane on purpose. Why would we want to do something insane? Because since people would get used to the idea of mashkin being metame kelim, and the reason that we made that gezerah, which itself seems, whoa, why be so machmir? Imashkin can't even be avot atuma, so how could it be metamik kelim? Anyway, it turns out the reason we did it was because of the types of mashkin that are body fluids that would be metamik kelim, and that could be confused with these mashkin. Fine. But we turned out that according to Reb Yehuda, there's a difference between mashkin, where over there, mashkin tmeim that come into contact with the kli, we'd have to worry about the difference between touching the inside of the kli or the outside of the kli. Mashkin kein, if a sheretz touches a kli, obviously, it's ridiculous, inside, outside. I mean, either the kli is tmei or it's tar. I mean, yes, there is a difference between inside and outside by a kli cheres, in that if you touch the outside of a kli cheres, it's not tmei at all, because it's only mekabel tuma from the inside. Fine, but that is a very loose comparison to this weird halacha. And Rabbi Yehuda was machalik himself between a sheretz and between mashkin. So then that means obviously he's pulled back from his shita. He no longer holds that mashkin are the equivalent of sheretz, so they could also be metamei kli, mini oraisa, based on the pusik of kli. Now he agrees it's only drabbanan. So we left off yesterday with wanting to know how far did he change his shita? Because really, let's think about what would have caused him to change his shita. He initially was Doresh Yitma, means Yitameh, and the fact that it was said in conjunction with Asher Yishateh Bechol Kli meant that it would even be Mitameh the Kli, right? So now there's two things that might have happened. Rabbi Yehuda might have decided that, no, it was a mistake to see the kli as the object of the tuma, and he found a reason for identifying Asher Yishateh Bechol Kli that maybe that had something to do with the din of Heksher, as other shitas had already said, but he still sticks to his guns about reading the word Yitma as actually meaning Yitameh. Or he could have pulled back from that completely. If he doesn't learn that Yitma is meant to be darshed as Yitameh, so then what would the pasuk be saying? That the mashkin themselves are mekabel tuma, period, but they can't pass the tuma along. In which case, he would end up agreeing with Rabbi Meir that mashkin, although they are tmeim d'oraisa, they cannot be metame other things d'oraisa. Which one was it? Is Rabbi Yehuda's new shita to agree with Rabbi Meir, or is Rabbi Yehuda's new shita to agree with Rabbi Yossi, that mashkin would be metame ochlin, but mashkin would not be metame kelim? And that was the last thing that we left out. We were on Yud Zayin Amud Beit, and we were just, let's just review the last few words of the question. Iboilahu. So this was the issue that we raised that was six lines up from the bottom of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. When Rabbi Yehuda had charata, mi kelim hu da'adabe, avabochlin k'Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbi Shimon Tzvirlei, and now he holds like Rabbi Meir, and he doesn't darshan yitma, means yitameh. Now, what we're going to be able to do today by exploring this issue is finally getting a clarity about where all of these things come from. Right now, until now, we've been talking about the dinim of tuma as if there's some kind of magical thing that everybody knows, but we have no idea where it comes from. We never analyze the psukim in the Torah in detail to come up with, like, where does all of this come from? The difference between posel and tumay, and how many levels of tumay there could be, and why we know that mashkin are not metame kalim, and why mashkin might be metame ochlin, but would not be metame mashkin, and why ochlin are not metame ochlin, but they would be metame mashkin. All of this stuff has just been sort of like, well, that's the way it is. Today, we're going to have the pleasure of interrelating, finally, the Torah Shebaal Peh with the Psukim and understanding where we derived all of this from in detail, which is wonderful. And so in the course of understanding what Rabbi Yehuda would actually hold now, we come to discuss something we never discussed before. We talked about two different types of mashkin, actually three different types of mashkin. We talked about mashkin that became tamei machmas kli. We talked about mashkin that were tamei machmas sheretz, which we thought yesterday we could make a distinction. of the two, we talked about body fluids, which are a type of mashkin, and that is tame as an avatuma. We forgot to mention that there's yet another type of mashkin, which is an avatuma d'oraisa also, and it has nothing to do with body fluids. And what would that be? That would be the incredible halacha, where the Torah says that the water of the Pora Aduma is metame someone who is tahar. Now, if it's metame a human who is tahar, so then that means it is an av hatuma. And that leads us into the next sugya about Rebbe Yehuda. Because remember, every time that we talk about the mashkin, which are mayim, of the Pora Aduma, which had been sprinkled with the ashes of the Pora Aduma, we're talking about a dual-level issue of tuma. In terms of there being the mechatas, they're an avatuma. If we could press a button and get rid of the mechata status, they would still be water, and they would still be mekabel tuma, and in that case, they would have been mekabel tuma from themselves. That's called in the Gemara nagaba atzmo, something that at one time, we had a lot of that back in Kalim, in which something was once ro'i, let's say, for Tumas Mishkav. And remember, we had a lot of cases like that. And then we took off the Tumas Mishkav because it was no longer ro'i for Shchiva. But we said, but it's still Tumei Maga Mishkav because it is itself. And wherever something has two tiers of levels of Tuma, the lower tier will always be impacted by the fact that this thing had been identified initially as something that was Tumei on its own, obviously. So then if that's the case, if we're talking about the mechatas, anything that would remove the kashrus of the mechatas to be used for sprinkling would not take off the din of the mayim. I mean, it would still be water that had been exposed to itself, and therefore it would be tamei as mashkim tmeim, right? So keeping that in mind, let's talk about exactly that kind of case. A guy had some mechatas in his yard, and this stuff costs, you know, like $50,000 a shot, you know, and he stupidly left it open, and his cow goes over and drinks the mechatas. Man, if you think the cow was able to survive that encounter, let me tell you, that cow was steak in no time at all. Boy, he wasn't going to put up with that. So now the question is, since the mechatas was in that cow's tummy, what's the din of the steak? And the steak was exposed to the mechatas or not? Okay, so comes along. Rabbi Yehuda. And he says like this, the Tanakhama says, it seems to be that way anyway, that the Tanakhama says, if the cow drank the mechatas, then the steak is tummy. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, the steak's not tummy, because the status of the mechatas disappeared once it got into that cow's tummy. Because mechatas becomes possible from a lot of things. One of the things it becomes possible from is the fact that it cannot be currently watched and protected because it's out of your reach. So that's called Hesech Hadas, and any level of Hesech Hadas possible. Okay, so it's no longer Mechatas. Don't worry about it, says Rabbi Yehuda. The steak isn't Tameh. Uh-oh. If Rabbi Yehuda had only changed his mind about Mayim Mashkim being Metameh Kalim, but he agrees that Mashkim could still be Metameh steaks, then why isn't the water in that cow's stomach going to be metame the steaks? Because it may not be mechatas, but it certainly is undeniably water. And apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds that water is not metame steak. There's your answer. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda has come back to the sheet of Rabbi Meir, and he doesn't even agree with Rabbi Yossi. He made a full 180-degree turn. Not only is Mayim not metame kalim, it's not even metame ochlin. That's what seems to be saying. Because Isaac adakhtami kalim udaadar bay, but he still agrees, but ochlin, he agrees with the Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Svirole. So why would we say it ended up being, what, non-existent in the cow's tummy? Nihida tuma chamura lo metame. Maybe it's not metame tuma chamura. Tuma chamura means an ava tuma, which is capable of being metame adam vekalim. Okay, I understand it no longer has a din of mechatas, but it still is water. So tuma kala, it should be metame, right? So therefore must be changed his mind. No, maybe that's all Reb Yehuda meant. Maybe Reb Yehuda meant is don't worry about it, meaning don't worry about you touching it because it's no longer going to be a tummy you, but the steak will be tummy. Maybe that's what it meant. Bitlumi tuma chamura, but from tuma kal, of course it will be metami the steak. No. How could it mean that? Because then that would mean that the Tanakama who was arguing with Reb Yehuda would be saying that it's even metami tuma chamura? That doesn't make any sense. I mean, how could it still be kosher mechatas in the tummy of the cow? So mechlal the Tanakama serve tuma chamura nami metami. I mean, it said beferish bisaratame. Doesn't say it's metami you. Says the steak is tummy. So that doesn't make any sense. You know what? I mean, maybe there is no Tanakama. Maybe the way to read this is correctly is like this. Kula Reb Yehuda. And we need to put in a couple extra words, right? So what it says is like this. A cow that drinks the mechatas, the steak is tummy. But what kind of tummy? So put in these words. Bamed varim amurim tuma kala. But only the steak is tummy, not anything else. Avatuma chamura lo, and add in the word she, and that, now go back to what it says. She, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, because Rabbi Yehuda says batul b'me'ya. Rav Ashi says, like, I mean, what are this kvetching for? It's very simple. When a cow drinks water, I dare you to find somebody who's ready to drink that water after it comes out of the cow, okay? So that means that it's mashke saruach. The Torah only spoke about v'chola mashke asher yishatet. Didn't it say that? It has to be potable water. It's got to be something somebody's going to drink. Nobody's going to drink it. And therefore, it's not water. It doesn't even have a din of mashke. It's all very simple. And this artificial distinction between the level of tumah chamura, because it's not a kosher mechatas, but it's still kosher water, it's not kosher water. Maybe badatz, but I mean, it's certainly not kosher for any reasonable extra. So nobody is going to be able to drink this water. So it's mashke saruach, and therefore it's not mekabel tumah of any kind. Therefore, this has nothing to do with what we've been talking about at all. Mishum davi mashke saruach. Okay. Fine. So now we don't know. Now let's take a look back at the brisa of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. And we are unable to establish what Rabbi Yehuda holds. I'd like to understand Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon's shita. They say that mayim is metami ochlin. Note that they didn't say it's metami mashkin. They only said it's metami ochlin. And it's not metami kalim. So how exactly, what's the basis in the pasuk for all of that? Well, we can actually learn what the basis is from Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, who quoted Reish Lakish as explaining that actually Rabbi Yossi over here was following the shita of Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva, he was his Rebbe. Remember that there were those last, the Olam was Shomim, until finally at the end of his life, Rabbi Akiva came, and that was when he taught the Torah to his last Talmidim, which included Rabbi Shimon, it's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai here, and one of the five Talmidim was Rabbi Yossi. So because of this, the shita that Rabbi Yossi is telling us over here was something that he had heard from Rabbi Akiva. Where do I know Rabbi Akiva shita? I know that also from a Mishnah. And that's the Mishnah in Sotah, where Rabbi Akiva says like this, that bo bayom, Dorash Rabbi Akiva, remember, wherever it says Bo Bayom, what's it referring to? It's referring to the day that Rabbi Gamaliel was fired and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah took his place and the Beis HaMedrash expanded to all of these new people and lots of new questions were raised and lots of answers and so on. So it was on that day that Rabbi Akiva made his beautiful drasha upon which all of this is based. So it's true that Rabbi Akiva, look, I mean, he was talking about the first part of the pasuk, but the truth is that this pasuk repeats itself in a way that allows us to see how Rabbi Akiva really has two levels, because it says two times the idea of Yitma. So one of them is, V'kol kli cheres asher yipol bihem al tocho, kol asher betocho yitma. Okay? Yitma. So Rabbi Akiva says that that idea is not tamei, but rather yitma. Why wouldn't the Torah come out and just say tamei? Instead, it darshens yitma. Must be that the Torah wants us to understand the word yitma as darshening yitamei, which means that it would be metamei other things as well. And that proves to us that it should be metame acherim. Now, there's a very important chiddush of Rabbi Akiva. Because Rabbi Akiva says, if that's the case, let's figure out what it's teaching you. First of all, I ask you, says Rabbi Akiva, does this pasuk say a word about truma or kachim? No. The pasuk is only discussing whatever it is. Urchlin. I don't care what they are, right? It could even be chulin. Can you tell me what level, let's say we have a piece of bread in here. What level of truma is that bread inside of the kli cheres? Please tell me. The sheretz falls into the kli cheres. What happens to the kli cheres? It becomes a rishon. The bread is in the kli cheres. It becomes a sheni. And it says that it will be metame something else. Now, man, if you don't understand that that means that a sheni can make a shlishi, then you don't know how to read, says Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, this whole jazz about there being no such thing as a shlishi by chulin is totally wrong. The Torah is saying that there definitely is such a thing as a shlishi. It says so in the Torah right over here. So then that's got to mean, says Rabbi Yossi, if we extend it. Now, I'm just going to take a little bit of a tangential point to remind you of something that we've learned several times before, that you should not make the mistake of thinking that the bread inside of this kli cheres, it's referring to a tanur, right? So this kli cheres, when the sheretz falls into the kli cheres and it's batame the kli cheres, do not make the mistake of thinking that that would mean that the kli cheres is full of tuma. It's not full of tuma. The reason that I know, if it was full of tuma, then that would mean that the tuma directly impacted the bread. In which case, the bread would not be a sheni, the bread would be a rishon. But we know that that's not the case. How do we know that that's not the case? Because if it were the case, then even if there was another kli, let's say you had a kettle inside of the tanur, if we would view the tanur as being the equivalent of a tumah of oil, of a mace, let's say, that gets filled with tumah, then why wouldn't the kettle be mekabel tumah from the sheretz? It's the same as touching the sheretz. And yet the Torah insists, no. Not a kli, only mikol ochel asher yeachel, or mikol hamashke asher yishateh. Only that, but no kli. What does that teach you? That teaches me two things, actually, at least. There's actually more. But it teaches me that a kli cheres that has mekabel tumah me'aviro is not mekabel tumah me'aviro through filling up the entire space. It's mekabel tumah me'aviro through the fact that it incorporated it within its space, but not filling the space. So it's a completely different type of issue. It's as if it touched the inside because the inside includes the space within it, which is a sophisticated idea and very different than the idea of Tumas Mace. So that tunneling issue that we had by Tumas Mace, in when it comes here to this din, is even more sophisticated because it will tunnel, so to speak, but only to the edges of the kli on the inside. Nothing in the space will be affected by it. So if that's the case, that's one thing that we learn. And the other thing that we learn is that being as the Torah was mechalek between the kalim inside of the kli cheres and the erchlin inside of the kli cheres, then what that implies is that kalim are only mekabel tumah from an avat tumah and not from a rishon letumah. That's the mocker of that halacha. And therefore, the erchlin, which can be mekabel the tumah from the avir of the kli cheres, are teaching you that a sheni makes a shlishi, says Rabbi Akiva. Now, if that's the case, then, says Rabbi Yossi, let's take a look at the end of the pasuk. Because at the end of the pasuk, it should be exactly the same. Just like over here, it talks about Yitma, that tells me a kikar sheni is oiser shlishi b'chulin. So now let me extend that into the end of the pasuk. The end of the pasuk continues, v'chol mashke asher yishateh b'chol kli yitma. Then that means that Rabbi Akiva would learn yitma there too as yitameh. And that would teach me that it would end up with an ability to be metame ochlin. So we'll see in a moment why not mashkin. But meanwhile, we see that mashkin will be able to pass on their tumah to ochlin. Hold on a minute. You say to be metame ochlim. Why? Why not say that it means to be metame to mezmashkim? Why are you insisting that mashkin will only be metame ochlim and not themselves? Amrit lo kachayat. No, no, please. That's not, it's just not the way it is. What does that mean? It's not the way it is. I mean, you're going to explain things to me, or am I supposed to accept it by fiat over here? My lo kachayat. Omer of Papa, look, this requires a little bit more knowledge than you, Mr. Novice, are ready to take right now. But just trust me, as we'll see as we go along, there is no such thing as a tuma doing something that is affecting its own thing. So lo matzino, we never find a tuma that is going to affect itself, meaning its own species. So if it's an ochlin that's going to be metame, then it's going to be metame mashkin. It's not going to be metame other ochlin. If it's an ochlin and it's metame, it's going to be metame dafka, mashkin being metame dafka ochlin, and not be metame mashkin. Ravina says, look, there is no way to, you do not need access to something that a novice doesn't know. Read the pasuk, and you'll see within the context of the pasuk itself, you already know that. Because the migufi nikra nami lo matzita amrit. You don't have to go outside of the sugya. Read the pasuk. The pasuk says yitma. And yitma has got to mean to be metame something else, which would have to mean that it can be metame ochlin. You could never say lo matzita amrit that it means to be metame other mashkin. You know why? Because isak adaitach, yitma, if you're going to be learning the Yitma at the end of the Pasuk, which was the reference to Kol Mashkasha Yishateh B'chol Kli, if you're going to learn that that is a reference to, yes, it can be Metame Mashkin, then it would mean that the Yitma in the Reisha would mean also, as we know, as we'll see how we know that, but the Yitma in the Reisha would be saying also that it's Metame Mashkin, because that's going to be clear from later on, because it says beferish that if a sheretz will fall on that food, tamehu means it and only it is tame, but no other food will be tame. So in order to square those two psukim, on the one hand it says tamehu, and on the other hand it says yitma meaning yitame, we'd have to say that it cannot be metame another food, but yitame, it would be able to be metame mashkin. So then why would we need two separate sections to tell me the same din? If both mashkin are metame mashkin and ochlin are metame mashkin, then put the two parts of the pasuk together, ne'arvino v'nichtavino, and just say the following. If the sheretz falls into the kli, then everything in the kli is tame from mikola ochel asher ye'achel asher yavo alamayim and kola mashka asher yishateh b'chol kli yitma. Why do we separate the two with a separate yitma for section A and a separate yitma for section B? The only explanation could be because the yitma means opposite things in the two sections. Section A was referring to ochlin being metame mashkin, and section B was referring to mashkin being metame ochlin. And that's why it says it twice. So trei yitma lamali, therefore it must be that yitma dereisha is the tame tumas mashkin. Yitma the Seifa is a Tamei Tumas Ochlin. Wait, couldn't it be that Yitma means that they could be Metame Kalim? I mean, why do we have to say necessarily we should limit it? This is Yitma, and you say Yitma means Yitame, so then they should be able to be Metame Kalim. No. It's obvious that they can't be Metame Kalim. It's a Kal V'chomer, for God's sake. Look what we're talking about over here. What would be the din if a Kli is inside this Kli? It would not be Mekabel Tumah. But if Mashkim are in this Kli, they are Mekabel Tumah, and they can pass the Tumah on. Now listen to how stupid that would be. The Kli that's inside of the Kli that was the same Kli that was Metame Mashka, it's not Mekabel Tumah from the Kli. But the Mashkin that came from the Kli, which was already a darga lower, if it touches a Kli, it is Metame the Kli. Does this make sense to you? So Uma Kli Shemetame Mashka is not Metame the Kli. So then the mashkin that were only secondarily tuma on account of being in that kli, so then obviously they have dropped down their attenuated tuma. So obviously, eno din shelo yitamu et kli. Well, wait a minute over here. Hold on. From this pasuk of yitameh that we dashen over here, we're not limiting that pasuk only to mashkin that became tameh from a kli, are we? I mean, what we're saying is that in general, mashkin ar matame. Okay. So then, yes, your kal v'chomer would certainly be true in a case where the tuma is a tuma from the kli, that now if that same kli can't be matame kli, then obviously the mashkin that came from it can't be matame a kli. But what about a case where the mashkin were tame because they touched the sheretz directly? So then you don't have the kal v'chomer. So maybe mashkin that became tame from a sheretz could be matame kelim, no? That makes sense? No. It doesn't make sense, but for a very interesting reason. Before I continue, I just got a phone call from Rabbi Kaplan, who I asked to remind me by dialing in and then hanging up, which he so kindly did, to remind me that tell you that not everybody has sent in their donation for Hanukkah yet. So please keep it coming if you're interested in participating in this particular giving of tzedakah. Okay, here's the reason why we cannot make that din about mashken abayim machmas sheretz. Because tell me something. Is there any pasuk that talks about mashkin becoming tame from a sheretz? Yes or no? No. There's nowhere. Miksivi, is there a pasuk that talks about it? How do you know the din of mashkin abayim machmas sheretz? Well, obviously, you know it from this pasuk. If mashkin that are abayim machmas akli, which became tame from a sheretz, even that is yitma. So obviously, if the sheretz touch the mashkin directly, so then lo kol shekein. That's how we know it. Now, what you want to do is you want to say that maybe if the mashkin come directly from the sheretz, that then they can be mitami the kli. Gentlemen, garbage in, garbage out. You cannot make a kal v'chomer that teaches you more than the data that were available at the beginning, right? So you can't derive from something where the thing that you're deriving it from cannot be matame akli, and now say, well, but the mashke that was tummy directly from the sheretz that I learned out from the kal v'chomer, that could be matame akli. That is a fundamental logical violation of dayo. So please, it can't mean kalim, all right? So that's illogical. So then, dayo lavo min adin liot ki nadon. There's certainly no way that it would be matame. Okay, so now we understand that the yitma at the end of the pasuk is the basis of Rabbi Yossi's psak, that the din, the oraisa, is that mashkin can be metame, but they can only be metame ochlin. Now, getting back to that first yitma, that ochlin are metame mashkin, what is the yitma of the resha? Mikola ochel asher yachel asher yavo alav maim yitma. We're dashing that yitame. And Rabbi Akiva understands that to mean yitame et hamashkin. You say that's what it means. Ata omer letame et hamashkin. Maybe it means it could even be metame kelim. So maybe food, as opposed to mashkin, is able to be metame directly. No, because again, it's a kal v'chomer that food can certainly not be metame. Because look, if mashkin, which is so chomer that it could be metame ochlin, cannot be metame akli, then ochlin, which is not able to be metame other ochlin, isn't it obvious that that's less of a tuma, and therefore should not be able to be metame akli? So therefore, yitma yitame ba ochlin could only mean that it's metame as a mashkin. And the reason for that, now here, this, the next few words are mysterious. What did they have to do with anything? The reason that it's different is because mashkin are alulim lekabel tuma. That since ochlin are only mekabel tuma, if you are makshir them to be mekabel tuma. But mashkin don't need any kind of hechsher because they themselves are mashkin. What does that have to understand? What do I need to those words? We're not talking about the drabbanan over here for why the drabbanan would be mechalik. You're talking about the pasuk. What's the meaning of those words? My iria mashkin mishum dalulun lekabel tuma. I understand. There was nothing else, right? Typically, the only way to understand the pasuk was that we showed that it could only mean that mashkin could be metame food. Because since we've shown clearly that food can't be metame kelim, and if we also know that there isn't a din of ochlin be metame ochlin, so then what's left? The only thing that's left is to be metame mashkin, right? What does that have to do with mashkin alulum lekabel tuma? No, you don't understand. We're saying something very sophisticated. Look, we're saying that we know what you're going to say. You're going to try to say that the idea over here is you've got this Kal Vachomer that because a mashkin cannot be metame a kalim, therefore you're saying it for sure, it must be that a tame ochlin, which is not as chomer, also can't be metame a kli. So now you could turn around and you'll say, I mean, that's stupid. Because, I mean, mashkin isn't metame ochlin, but ochlin is chomer. Ochlin isn't only kal, because mashkin are not metame mashkin, but ochlin is metame mashkin. So it's the same chumrah in the inverse. I mean, so how can you make it as a chumrah? No. That's why I threw in these words. But that's no taina. That deal that mashkin is mekabel tuma from the ochlin is because mashkin is chomur, not because ochlin is chomur. So the fact that it's possible for mashkin to be mekabel tuma even from an ochlin is because mashkin have a general chumra. What is that chumra? Mishum de mashkin alulum mekabel tuma. In what sense? Why are they alul? They're prune. Why are they prune? Shemekablim tuma shelo behechsher. So therefore, again, it's a very good Kal Vachomer. I'm sorry. Don't try to tell me it's not a Kal Vachomer because the Kal Vachomer works in the inverse. That wouldn't be, the inverse doesn't prove anything about a Chumra of Ochlin. It just proves again that Mashkin is more Chomer. Okay. So now, let's understand something else. We've understood that Rabbi Akiva's basis is the fact that instead of saying the simple word Tameh, the Torah throws in the word Yitma. And therefore, we darshan that Yitameh. Can you tell me, please, why can't the Torah just say what it wants to say? So just say yitameh. I mean, the word yitmah is very confusing because the word yitmah is a description of the status of what we're talking about. Yitmah. It shall be tameh. Fine. I mean, it's a more complex way of saying tameh because it also includes the object, right? Fine. But, I mean, so if you really wanted to teach me that it's able to be metameh achirim, then just say so. So therefore, what we're doing over here is another example of the Pusik's ability to communicate information, dense ideas, with a simple word. Because by choosing the word yitba, which is midway between tameh and yitameh, it's telling us something very important. It's telling us that yitma means limit on some level the tuma to the object. That's why it includes the object instead of saying tameh. Yitma, this object as opposed to another similar object, is the end of the tuma, which is true. Which means that this object, let's say it's a foodstuff, cannot be metameh another foodstuff. In the case of the mashke, cannot be metameh another mashke. Can it be metameh anything? Oh, yes, indeed. Because otherwise, it would have said Tameh, instead of saying same way it did before in the other pasuk of Tamehu. So since over here it says Yitma, we dash that in two directions, vis-a-vis the object itself and those of a similar set of that object, it's only Yitma, the object. Vis-a-vis members of a different set of objects, Yitameh. Well, is that beautiful or not? We're back to the Galactic Federation. I don't get it. Okay. All right. Thank you, Daniil. Excellent. There we go. At least one person's wearing an oxygen mask, which is probably a methane mask on this planet. But all right. So very good. So now we understand that little piece, right? That is Eino Ose Kiyotsebo. Now, ask the Gemara, but the thing is, I thought we learn out the limitation to the same class of objects from the word Tamehu. That was a whole different drasha. That thing is tame, but not a thing like it is tame. Hu tame, ve'eno ose tuma kayotseba. So then that means we already have the rule that you're not going to make another thing like you tame. Why does it need to repeat it then again? Now, it's true. The next piece is a little bit confusing because what we're talking about is mashkim over here, and that pasuk is talking about ochlin. So, but the truth is, it doesn't matter because we've already established the Yitma is creating the similarity between the two cases. And therefore, let's actually relate to the case of Tamehu as if it were Mashkin, because, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Mamatsinu be'ochlin, we find exactly the same thing with Mashkin. So forget about that problem. So therefore, what it would be telling us is that we need two psukim. One pasuk is telling me Mashkin haba imach masheretz, and one pasuk is talking about Mashkin haba imach maskli. And I need to know, because, and that's obviously what it is talking. This is not just a one of these cases of, well, we need two cases in order to two psukim in order to cover two cases. The two cases are openly said in the pasuk. One pasuk is talking about Asher Yipol Minivla Samalav, where it comes into direct contact with the sheretz, and the other is talking about Mashkin, though we're inside of the Kli Cheretz, Asher Yipol Mitocho, right? El Tocho of the sheretz. So there, the pasuk was openly discussing two different cases. One where the tumah of the object came from direct contact with the sheretz, one where the tumah of the object comes through the indirect tumah that comes from the kli, which had been affected by the sheretz. And why would we need two separate dinim to limit tumah to the class of objects that are different than the class of the object that was mekabel the initial tumah? Because tzrich. I'll explain to you why. Because let's say we only had the pasuk that spoke about the case of kol hamashkeh sheyishateh b'toko kli. That would be mashkin habayim machmas kli. I would have said, you know why? Because they have gone down one level of intensity. So they're not as tamei because they're only a sheni. So maybe that's because it's a sheni, not because there's a problem in general of classes of objects. But maybe Mashkin Abay Machmas Sheretz, which is itself a Rishon, and they carry now Tuma that is more Chomer, maybe it would be able to make Tuma Keyotzeba. So that's why I need both. What do you mean, that's why you need both? So then just tell me the more complicated case. Tell me that even Mashkin Abay Machmas Sheretz can't be Metame, anything that is not, that is of the same class. And then I would say, well, Kol Shekein, if it's only Machmas Kli and it's a lower level of Tuma, why do you haven't explained to me why you need both of them. You're right. I didn't. Okay. But I don't have to, because all you're saying is, if you gave me one, I would know the other one is a Kal V'Chomer. And that's true. But we have a general rule that Milta Da'atya B'Kal V'Chomer, Torach V'Kasav Lakra, that there are times when the Pasuk will repeat a din which could have been derived from a Kal V'Chomer, and you cannot ask, what's the point of the extra Pasuk? It's not an extra Pasuk unless you have an obvious application of it. That's true. But if you don't have an obvious application, it does not mean that what you thought was wrong just because it could have been derived from a Kal V'Chomer. Okay, now we know Rabbi Akiva, who talked about the first part of the pasuk, and Rabbi Yossi, who talked about the last part of the pasuk, and you were claiming, Reish Lakish, that the way to understand Rabbi Yossi was that Rabbi Yossi was following the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, which makes a lot of beautiful sense, except for the fact that it's not true. Yes, there's always these unfortunate facts. And Amale Ravino Ravashi, didn't Rava prove that Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Rabbi Akiva, and that Rabbi Akiva does not hold of Rabbi Yossi? So what do you mean he was saying it, the Shita? I mean, we're going to see later that basically Rabbi Yossi does not hold that a Sheni can make a Shlishi for Chulin. And of course, that's exactly how we Paskin. A Sheni does not make a Shlishi for Chulin. The problem is that if you argue with Rabbi Akiva on that, then you're up the creek without a paddle, because the basis of that was the fact that the pasuk says yitma, and we darshan it yitame, which would mean that the piece of bread inside the tanur, into which the sheretz had fallen, was able to make something else, even of chulin tame. And the bread was a sheni. And therefore the pasuk would be saying a sheni makes a shlishi, because it says yitame. If Rabbi Yossi doesn't accept that, how can he darshan the other yitameis in the pasuk over here to tell me that yitame would mean that it's able to be metame something of a different class of objects? Obviously, that's not true. So how could Reish Lakish get away with claiming that Rabbi Yossi was going aliba to Rabbi Akiva? We're going to see how we know that Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold a Rabbi Yossi. Omar Lay, so Rav Ashi said, Reish Lakish did not say that Rabbi Yossi agrees with Rabbi Akiva. All Reish Lakish said was that this discussion, which Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say that Mashkin are mitamim ochlin, is obviously only correct if the way that we understand the pasuk is consistent with Rabbi Akiva's approach to reading Yitma as Yitameh. He never said that he agrees with Rabbi Akiva. So he's saying it b'shitat Rabbi Akiva Rabbo. He was giving over the sheet of Rabbi Akiva. He himself doesn't hold it. V'leilo sfirale. Omerle Rav Asher Rav Kana, I know why Rava said, I'm smart too. I know why Rava said that Rabbi Yossi doesn't hold of Rabbi Akiva, but I don't know, where does it say Rabbi Akiva doesn't hold of Rabbi Yossi? I mean, I can show you very clearly that Rabbi Yossi does not hold of Rabbi Akiva because of the Braita. Now, this Braita is the beginning of the rest of our levels of understanding of the interrelationship of very important issues in the Torah. The din of a Mechusar Kippurim, the din of a Tful Yom, and the interrelationship of Posel and Tameh, which is derived from those din. Because of that, it's going to go on tomorrow, and it's going to be part of our fundamental investigation of the interrelationships of the different levels of Tuma, Legabe Truma, and Legabe Kodesh, and Legabe Chulin. And so because of that, we're not going to attempt to actually get through the whole Braisa today. But what we would like just to see before we end is the fact that clearly Rabbi Yossi simply would not be able to be derish that a sheni makes a shlishi b'chulin. And if Rabbi Yossi is not able to darshan that a sheni makes a shlishi b'chulin, then that means he is not reading Yitma as Yitameh. It's as simple as that. And I figured that out myself. And therefore, it's true that Reish Lakish was not really telling us what Rabbi Yossi's logic was. He was telling us who Rabbi Yossi was quoting, so to speak, when he said this. And he's saying, I just want to extend Rabbi Akiva, my Rebbe's, point and show you how it would impact this pasuk about Mashkin in general. Personally, I don't darshan Yitma as meaning Yitameh. And according to me, the Mashkin is not able to be Metameh other things. So I think that we probably would be smart enough not to even really begin and drive you crazy, and we can begin tomorrow. But I think it would be well worthwhile doing a review of the daf and recognizing where we were going here at the end. So let's just take a look at what it is that we did get through today. We understood the two psukim that are talking about Tuma in the Torah, one about a sheretz that's metame, the ochlin, called Zera Asher Yizarea, where over there it had been Mukshala Kabal Tuma, and it says Tamehu. From there we understood that Tamehu means it itself is Mekabal Tuma, but what? And that could mean, but it can't pass that Tuma on at all, or it could mean it's Tameh in terms of its own class of objects. I'm not sure what it means yet. But then we have another pasuk that starts talking about the difference between mashkin and ochlin, separating them with the word yitma. And that word yitma, we darshan in a fascinating way. On the one hand, we say, since the word yitma is a reference to the object, it shall be tameh, as opposed to just saying tameh. It is definitely limiting the Tuma to a class of objects. And otherwise, it would have said that it would be Yitame, and then that would mean it could be Metame anything. Furthermore, since it does not say Tame, which would avoid the whole problem, and it says instead Yitma, it teaches us that this thing can be Metame other things, from which we derive, the balance teaches us, it cannot be Metame other things of the same class of objects, but it can be metame things of a different class of objects. So from there we learned the repetition of yitma in terms of ochel asher yachel yitma and mashkin asher yishate yitma teaches me that ochlin can be metame mashkin and mashkin can be metame ochlin, and we know that it can't be referring to being metame the kli, because in the very same pasuk it makes it clear that kalim themselves would not be mekabel tuma directly from the same thing that these mashkin would be mekabel tuma from. And that's the source of the halach of tumas mashkin, and therefore it limits any derivation of the source because of the logical principle of dayo. So the Tamehu makes it very clear that we're talking about not that it can't be metami anything else, but it can't be metami anything else of the same class of objects. So what we were left with, however, was a problem, because if we're going to be darshaning, the way Rabbi Yossi darshans the Yitma, meaning Yitame, then that means that the initial pasuk that describes Tuma of a piece of food inside of a kli and claims that it could be Matame other things forces us to the conclusion that we're talking about Sheret, which is class A of Tuma, being Matame a kli, which is level one of Tuma, that's a Vlad of Tuma, which is then Metame the bread, which is level two of Tuma, and it's being taught to us that that level two, Yitame, can be Metame other things of a different class, namely, if it comes in contact with Mashkin, it will make them Shlishi. Does it say anything in this Pasuk that indicates to you that it's limited to Truma or to Kachim? Absolutely not. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva concluded, you see from here, there must be, besides level A of the Sheretz, there must be a level of 1, 2, and 3. So you see from here that there is such a thing as a Shlishi Bitume, something that we have been dead set against all through all of these dinim of Tuma. There's no Shlishi B'chulin. There's only Shlishi on Truma, and it's possible, not really Tame, or of Chulin Shanasar al Taras HaKedesh, or Taras Truma, Min Rabbanan, and so on. So that's one fascinating question. We haven't gotten to the bottom of that, of how we would deal with the difference of making the conclusion of Rabbi Akiva. But meanwhile, we see some of the very fundamental issues of Ein Kli Metame Kli from a Vlada Tuma. Kli is Metame from Tuma Chamura. We discussed three levels of Mashkin, Mashkin Machmas Sheretz, Mashkin Machmas Kli, and then Mashkin, which are the Mechatas, which are an Ava Tuma, and obviously the other Mashkin, which aren't really Mashkin, body fluids are Mayanot, they're called, as opposed to just Mashkin. Okay, that leaves us with the issue of how do we know the din of psul by tuma on the truma, which would be a shlishi, and psul by kodesh, which is a revi. And remember that Chagai's Bechina wanted to make certain that the Kohanim had figured all of this out and were well aware of the dinim of revi b'kodesh and so on, and would know the difference between a revi b'chamishi, and would know whether nezid would be metame other food, or would only be metame shemen, or yayin, or whether yayin could be metame shemen. So it turns out that Chagai's questions were very, very well-formulated questions, as you would expect from a Navi, and basically, somebody who did not have available Masechet Pesachim, which was not available to these Kohanim, would have been one hell of a gadol b'torah to have been able to pass that simple question of Chagai, because he would have had to figure this all out on his own, which is pretty remarkable. Okay, so we're gaining respect as we go along. See you tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem, with the conclusion of the issues that we raised today. Kol tov, everyone.